welcome back, guys. And I mean, you're back, you're here. We told you next episode will be better, so you listen to what we had to say. And look at that, you're here to listen to our first ever music podcast. What a time to be alive. But so how we're gonna go about doing this. I think the format's gonna be constantly evolving, like we said actually in the intro pod, but I have kind of some segments that we can go through, Colin, and we can kind of go about some things that we really want to talk about. And first thing I actually had on the agenda was talking about some of the new albums that came out. I think going forward, the way I think we're planning on doing this is probably just touch on it every Friday. Makes the most sense. Music comes out Fridays. We can really talk about, you know, new albums that come out, stuff like that, stuff that we're excited for, stuff that we feel like you guys should be listening to. I think that makes the most sense for where we want to start. So I know you mentioned last night when we were talking about it, you had a couple albums that you actually thought you wanted to touch on. You said, I think even just in the hip hop genre, you said there was like six coming out or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Which ones were really grabbing you that are worth people's time to check out?
I think for sure, and I think this might be a common thing because I think hip hop's really been my true passion for the longest time.
Which is why, to be honest with you, why I have you like,
I can cover bass easily with ease. No
I am
problem.
So out of, I mean, like I listen to hip hop and rap. I still like it, but I mean, it's just,
it's selective. You well, like what you like. Kind of thing.
I even just like, as an example, I was sitting in the gym yesterday and I was kind of getting ready to do this and go about some stuff that I really like and wanted to have some stuff, some notes and stuff like that to touch on. And I mean, the amount of people on, you know, two of the three most popular Spotify playlist, I probably know 10%.
Yeah. It'll be like, hip hop. It's because that's the biggest genre. That's that's what in quotes the culture is nowadays. Yeah, so
it's different.
Yeah. Getting to, I guess, what would be what people should listen to is out of nowhere, the apparent king of Halloween, producer who you know from multiple Drake hits, Migos hits. Metro Boomin came out with a surprise tape. It's called Not All Heroes Wear Capes. Okay. It is 13 tracks, 44 minutes, so it's not long. And that's another positive I will probably get to later on is that you're starting to see a trend now where no one wants to listen to an album that's an hour or longer anymore.
Yeah, I would
because one, it cuts out the idea of filler. So you're not going to have random throwaway tracks that are in there that are, in my opinion, kind of worthless, maybe would be a word you could say, but it's short, it's concise, it does the job. I think there's more than enough hits on here where, depending on if it's like something you want to work out to, something you want to listen to when you're playing Xbox, or whatever you play games on, or you're partying, whatever it may be, it checks all boxes. It's a trap album, it's what you expect, as you'd expect.
What, taking it again, like I said, definitely not my genre,
100%. Yeah.
So, is there a Metro Boomin song that
Boomin? Metro Boomin. The thing that's funny.
Boomin, yes. There we go.
Exactly. So,
literally
Metro
exhibits
Boomin.
My point that I literally don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Exactly.
The music. And this is why you're here for the hip hop and R&B and like the rap stuff because it's just like it's just so out of my element.
You'll learn.
Like,
you'll get to. It. You'll
I mean, that's why we're doing this pod because you know, I'm hoping we both introduce each other to music that you know we might not necessarily be listening to. And and same thing with our audience. Like we want people to be listening to stuff. You know, expand your horizons, music, something like that, where you just want to find new artists that you like because sometimes you feel like you just like kind of cycle through the same three or four things. So Metro Boomin
is one.
Is one.
The next album that I'd say is worth looking into would be one of the three Migos members. So in other words, it's another trap album. It's going to be a fucking pain.
We're going to talk about this again too. Okay. Yes. So people, I'd say Migos is probably one of the most mainstream hip hop.
And that's the thing that's crazy is that so they started like super trap.
Yeah.
Atlanta, like down the south. Very, I don't know how to word this properly. I'll just say aggressive would be the best way of saying it maybe. Okay. And they've grown.
Like
they've grown to the point where it's like kind of the idea of any upcoming artist, they get their niche audience, which brings them in. They get bigger. They have the hit that brings them to that next level. And then they have the hit. Once they get the hit, then they go to the pop level, and then they hit the mainstream. That's what Migos is getting.
So give me – okay, here was my surface level question.
Yes.
And I think I could probably name – it's three of them, right?
There's three, yes.
Name all three Migos members for the people that don't know because they are – I've seen this
now
too.
Multiple,
they're all all going solo now to an extent. So like
they're doing it because Quavo and I, if I'm
correct, Quavo's the most popular one.
Quavo's the one that everyone knows.
Yeah, everybody knows who Quavo is.
And the thing with his reasoning as to why they're doing it is they're not breaking up, because why would you break up if you guys are making much money doing
He's the one that's married to Cardi B too, right?
No, that's another one. We'll get to that. Okay. I know.
So I'm on base with that too.
So the reason why they're doing it is that his reasoning was that they want to have a home base, in quotes, with my hands I'm moving right now.
Okay.
That, so whenever you look up their name, it's not just their features that they're in, like other people's songs. So they're doing it to have a home base, in quotes. So the one that's most popular is Quavo.
Yeah.
Quavo is the guy, if you listen to the song Walk It, Talk It by them with Drake, he's the guy who constantly says it repeatedly.
Yeah.
Quavo is the chorus guy. He's the guy who's going to say the hook. He's going to do it because he's catchy. And you have Offset. Offset is the one who's married to Cardi B.
Okay, Offset is Cardi B. He was the other one I knew too. Okay,
Offset probably why is the one, in my opinion, who has the most potential to be
actually
bigger than all of them. I think he's fantastic.
Okay,
his solo like features he's done better than both. And then the one that came out recently is Takeoff.
Okay,
so it's Offset, Quavo, and Takeoff. Yes, it's kind of once you know it's. I mean, it's tough because Takeoff's like the third amigo where he kind of doesn't get mentioned enough.
Yeah.
So now that he gets his own album, which I think I was impressed. I mean, when I say impressed with a trap album, more or less, if you're giving it a rating scale, if it falls in between like a 6 to like a 7.5, maybe an 8, I'm impressed.
Okay.
You rarely will find a trap album of that of that type of music where it's going to be something you want to listen to for years on end. That's a very small bit of music that's trap music that will last that long.
Sure. And I feel like a lot of times, especially in my current generation right now, and I mean, this isn't everybody, because obviously music is kind of ebb and flow and people like what they like. So, I mean, there are people that are my age that like that music, like, they'll listen to it, you know, on a day-to-day basis because they just like it. But I would say a majority of people my age right now, because, I mean, like, obviously it's always been this way for me, is I feel like a majority of us listen to that kind of stuff, you know, when you're, you know, having fun, you know, out with friends.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that it fills that void for whatever, like, more or less trap music I always thought was party music. And then going to college,
realized, works for that too. Because I mean,
like, I realized over time, no one, like, you can listen to trap music, but like if you're in a big crowd of people, you can't play trap music. Yep. It's a fact.
Yeah,
I've known that all the years. Had parties down in Mankato. Everyone's like, play music. I'm like, okay, you have to saturate what you play because no one wants to hear about people popping out guns through the bando with a Tech N9ne and their Rari. Like, that does not add up at all. No one gives a shit for that at all.
Oh, and definite side piece of information for all of you listening. If you have not checked out Migos being impersonated when Donald Glover was on
Saturday skit on SNL was fantastic.
It's so great.
And they even came out and saying they loved it too.
It's them going to counseling. It's like, it's worth your time. Look it up. So, like, SNL, Donald Glover, Migos. You will be very happy. Fantastic. So, okay, let's alternate. So we'll go from me, because I think too, the big thing is we want to get as much of a wide range of people here. Not thinking, you know, just like hip hop rap. We're going to talk about every single thing. So if you're like listening to the first 5 minutes of this and you're like, I do not give two shits about what they're talking about, stick with us. I'm going to talk about a wide range of stuff. So is Colin. So, you know, it's not going to be just that. But we're also going to talk about, you know, obviously our passions and what we, you know, really feel like is our favorite types of music. Obviously, that's what we're going to have the most, you know, to talk about as well, too. So I would say, me personally, I definitely lean more of a, you know, an alternative music. I'd say alternative music is probably my favorite type of music, which obviously is kind of vague because that can mean a lot of different things.
I was raised on that too, and that was something where I think the best part of alternative is that there's not one set boundary. There's so many different variations that now.
I mean, and music too, just what it's being categorized as now is just so all over the map. I mean, even just for alternative, I mean, you can have like alt pop, alt rock. Like,
then you go indie, which is still considered alternative, but it's slower. Full,
like, it just starts going into so many sub-caveats. It's a very big tree. But for me personally, I'd say alt rock is probably where you're going to find me the most, and where, you know, if I were going to concerts, that's probably where you would find me. Some of the albums that were appealing to be honest with you, for alt rock, from what I saw listed, there wasn't a ton this week, but there is a couple big mainstream ones coming out next week.
Isn't Imagine Dragons next week?
And they actually dropped a single earlier this week. They dropped it. It was kind of on. It was on a random day. I think it was on like Wednesday or something.
Was that
a
surprise by any means?
That is the loudest siren. What in the heck? Dear God. Okay, we are okay, everyone. My God, that was outside, like literally right outside. But yeah, Imagine Dragons did drop. Which was album titled the. It was called Machine, and that's what the album's going to be titled. I listened to it. I like it. To be honest with you, I've seen Imagine Dragons live. They are amazing live. They're worth your time seeing if you like. I just think his voice is so powerful, and it's really. I mean, he puts on such a good show. They were more spectacle than like insane musicians do. I mean, they are very good and they're very well rehearsed. But kind of from what I've heard. I actually have friends that have seen them. They actually didn't like them. And I noticed that their brand new album, when I saw them, actually was way less refined when they're playing it live than some of the other stuff. So it seems like they're one of the bands that it takes time for them to warm up to songs and kind of figure out how they're going to go about doing them. But yeah, the last two things they've put out, I haven't been a huge fan of. They put out a song called, Machine, obviously. I'm kind of lukewarm on it. I'm going to have to keep listening to it to see if I like it. But their other song, Natural, I thought was good, not great. And then they put out a song for the new Wreck-It Ralph movie, which I can't remember what it's called. But honestly, I just kind of thought it was – it's kind of a forgettable
song. It's meant for a movie. But it's basically a throwaway.
I mean, you have that, but then also you have songs like, you know, from my favorite band, which we can kind of dive into too because we can kind of dive into what we want to – what we're currently listening to, but my favorite band is 21 Pilots. And I can actually say that's a yes and a no when it comes to it being a movie, because one of their most popular songs that they actually play in every concert is Heathens. And that was off the Suicide Squad album. Mm-hmm. And that was, I mean, honestly, one of their, you know, Blurry Face came out a couple of years ago, and that was probably one of their biggest, you know, hits. And it wasn't even off the album. They just made us a single for that movie. So, I mean, yes and no. So I was a little disappointed, especially with Imagine Dragons kind of quality, that they weren't able to crank something out that was super super to my liking. So I mean, take that for what you like, but I mean, you guys can go out and check them out. I do think Machine has potential to be pretty decent. Their last album was actually very, very good. So I would check out Evolve too. That was, and I feel like that, I mean, that broke records. So I feel like a lot of people,
yeah,
that,
I'm looking at the pre-order now on Apple Music, and it's 15 songs, 52 minutes. So that's,
which is surprising.
There's
with
more
how,
than enough content.
I mean,
on
Evolve
there.
Came out last summer, which is kind of crazy that they crank something out, which can be a good thing or a bad thing. Because I mean, if you're capable of putting out good music quickly, then yeah, strike while the iron's hot. But that's also worse than that you're putting out a 15 song album within a year, especially considering how long they've been touring. So, I mean,
I think they're just riding the wave.
Yeah,
rightfully so, I guess.
Even if you put out a couple of good songs off that album, I'll be happy. But yeah, we'll transition back to you. Like I said, we'll just kind of alternate, go back and forth with what you have. I have a couple more.
Yeah,
so it was kind of a slow week. There wasn't a ton.
I think. I mean, there's a ton that came out for hip hop and rap, and I think the only one that I think is worth mentioning to me maybe be the Action Bronson album, which. If you don't know who Action Bronson is,
and
it's,
you're speaking to someone who. Okay, so
I'm saying
name,
it's a pop culture name at this point.
Okay.
Because he has his own show on Vice, at least he used to before this whole fiasco happened, where it's called Fuck That's Delicious.
Okay.
And he's a 300 and something pound bald headed dude from Harlem or the Bronx, wherever it is. Mm-hmm. Maybe Queens. I don't even remember where it is. And if you listen to him, like I was on the way over here, I was listening to one of the songs, and. I know the line to an exact quote. It is, it's like a pause after the chorus comes out, and then he just stops and says, "Fuck Star Wars," and then he just pauses like, "Indiana Jones is better, bitch," and then he just keeps going, and it's just, it's very odd. If you listen to any of his music or just kind of, if you watch an interview of who he is, you'll know that it's very unique.
He's just out there.
He's a weird dude, yeah. And it's kind of, I think it's worth listening to because he's got... Since he's from New York, he's automatically going to have that 90s sound to me where it's raw, it's clear.
Yep.
He's clearly trying to go with rhymes, has a certain cadence to him, and I think it might be worth your time listening to it. He's just really weird. Vince Staples came out with another album, too. I haven't really given it a listen yet, but from what I heard, it's on a very West Coast, kind of had a YG flow to it. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of bouncy, but I don't know. It kind of came as a surprise, and I wasn't really...
I like some of Vince Staples stuff.
Vince Staples, his album that came out with 2 years ago with Big Fish and what's the song with Kendrick Lamar? I can't think of, but Summertime 06 is the album everyone knows where it has, you know, North North, you know, the song where it's like, bitch, you thirsty, please grab a Sprite. That's one thing, but yeah, no, I think it was a good week for hip hop. I mean, in general, it was kind of a dry spot for the latter half of the last 2 to 3 weeks with not really, I think the last big album that came out was a week where it was Travis Scott, Mac Miller, and YG all came out in the same exact week, and that held everyone down for about a month and a half. Then after that, it's been kind of a dry spot. But that's kind of expected because now it's more or less now with any release that comes out at this point, the record label is going to, one, want the album to come out before Christmas or around Christmas so that, you know, beforehand when people actually still bought physicals, CDs, vinyls, tapes, whatever, they wanted to push it as like a gift, get it out there, this and that. But now it's summertime for me has always been like from around May to July is the prime time for music. Everyone wants to hear it.
It's
the summer, windows down. Music's always better in the summer. That's how it always is.
I mean, wide encompassing. That's all. I feel like that's all music. But yeah, transitioning back. So the only other thing I really picked up, and it's actually next week too, was Muse has an album coming out.
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah.
Because I actually liked their last album. I was a fan
Muse,
of it.
Muse, and honestly, so Muse is one of those bands for me personally. I wouldn't say, like, I was very just indifferent to them for a really long time. They're one of those bands that, like, you know, I grew up kind of as, like, a hard rock kid originally. Like, I mean, to put it in perspective, my first ever band that I saw live was Slipknot. So you can kind of gather where I've evolved from. Yeah, and I still like that kind of music, but, like, Muse is definitely one of those where I've just always been kind of indifferent to. I feel like their songs get played a ton on the radio. They have a really large following, and I just never really was able to crack, like, why I was just kind of whatever about them. But then I saw them headline a festival that I went to first year, and
it'll do it for you.
They always just will. Knocked my socks
always
off.
Always
like, they were unbelievable. So, like, and I mean, like I said, I've always been indifferent, but it's always been songs that, I mean, you know, you hear in passing, you hear on the radio, like you hear your friends play them. Like, so I knew a lot of the songs, and I was actually shocked at how many songs and how many hits that they have.
They have a lot.
And so they have a new album coming out, and actually, I think they've already released like 4 or 5 singles from it.
Probably.
So
it's kind of been a long time coming. Alternative music, they don't, it's kind of odd. They don't have like a timeline as to whenever they decide to drop their singles.
Yeah,
they just go, like, they do it literally. Will be a song comes out, like the first thing that comes to mind would be a band called Jungle. It's kind of an electronic group.
I know Jungle.
So good. But like, so their first song they had in 4 years was House in LA, or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Came out like 3 months before the album came out.
Yeah.
They had that song, and they had like 3 or 4 more, and that all came out before the album came out.
Yeah.
With hip hop, you'll do one song, maybe it's rare you get one that's maybe like a bonus track thing.
You pick a single.
And like even that's like 2 weeks max.
The Drakes always of the world, I think, like even on his last one, what did he drop? Like 2?
Yeah,
because like, Nice for What?
When he did Hotline Bling, that song came out so early.
Yeah,
before it went on Views.
That's probably.
And that's just what it is. So you get it that big, and then it just you just throw on the album. Yeah. You're like, screw it, why not?
Yeah, no, I agree. So I mean, like, they definitely do it differently. So I think, I mean, Dig Down, for example, literally, I saw that song, which is now on the Simulation Theory record, and I saw that 2 summers ago. So, I mean, I saw that live 2 summers ago. So, they were cranking that out literally 2 years ago. So, to put that in perspective of how long, like, they've been putting out these singles and, like, kind of slow playing them, it definitely is done differently by alternative music. But, yeah, so that comes out next Friday as well, as does the Imagine Dragons one. And then I just had a couple quick little notes from mine, and then I'll just transition to whatever you have left, Cullen. But, like I said, first concert I ever saw was Slipknot. And if you like Slipknot, they actually just came out with a brand new single. They're going to actually tour here within the next calendar year. They're supposed to go on tour here in 2019.
And they still easily do arenas.
Oh, for sure.
Definitely.
Slipknot still pulls down for heavy metal fans, for sure. And then transitioning into Christmas music, which actually I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But I was surprised because I actually feel like if there's any Christmas music I would ever like listen to, like going out of my way to listen to it and not having it just on, Sia had one, which I actually thought was really interesting because I actually really like Sia's voice.
So
she had one last year, apparently. I did some research on this today, so I kind of could give some information to the audience. But so she had one last year. It was a lot of original content too, which I actually thought was also interesting. So that's she cool. wrote a lot of originals.
Yeah.
And then she came out with a deluxe version of said album from last year this year. So she capitalized on it and she put out even more songs. Jeez. So if you like Christmas music, like Sia, she put out like a giant deluxe album. It's all out on Spotify. It was on the new release stuff that I found. And then the big one that actually came out today, they're very niche, but if you like them, they're freaking raunchy as hell, but Tenacious D.
I literally saw it on my phone.
I listened to about half of it. It's actually pretty good. Not gonna lie. If you like kind of like goofy heavy metal stuff, I mean, they're as niche as it gets. They put out like, I mean, it's literally just a running comedy gag through a CD, but I mean, it's Jack Black and I think it was Kyle Gass. Gass is how you say his name? Gass, something like that. But all I know is it's...
That's crazy guys, that it's still together.
I mean, they clearly have a following. And I was reading up about how they got started, and it was really interesting. But, I mean, yeah, they essentially tell a giant, like, weird, raunchy story over a CD. And it was, like, a 20-something song album. Like, it's huge. Jeez. And a lot of, I mean, some of it is just, like, spoken skits and stuff like that.
But, yeah, filler.
I mean, it is, yeah. It made me chuckle a couple times. I mean, like, it's worth your time if you like that kind of stuff. So, that's all I had from albums coming out because it was a slow week, especially in, like, the alternative ring. Like, you know, rock didn't have a ton of stuff coming out this week either. Yeah, nothing really notable. Even pop music didn't have a ton coming out this week, so.
No.
Did you have anything else album-wise? Or
did you with mentioning maybe just Swiss Beatz, who, it's kind of tough with him because he's not really much of an artist. He's just a producer that's done so much work behind the scenes. So it's kind of the same thing with Metro Boomin, is that he keeps all of his beats to himself and then puts an album out. So that's one you can look at. And then here's a massive deep cut would be, which I totally imagine you would totally listen to, would be Moneybagg Yayo. I figured you...
it's funny you brought that up because when I was going through like the... what's the
new playlist? Music? I guess.
Called like Get Turnt playlist.
He's got to be on
just
there.
Like, oh, he was. And hell like, yeah. There's so many names like that where I'm just like, what the hell does that even mean? Like,
exactly.
That, like someone got a record label like deal naming themselves like that. Like, I don't know. Just
it's well, okay. So in terms of pop, Barbra Streisand released an album.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
To be honest, like, I think hip hop actually was probably the most prominent, like.
And that's because it's just so much that come out. There's a lot. There's still, Jay Critch was another one that I'm probably not going to listen to that, but.
Yeah.
So in total, there was 8 albums that came out just today alone.
Endless supply. Insane. So if you like hip hop and rap, it was a good week for you. Everything else, you pretty much have to wait kind of till the middle of November, which we'll touch on obviously going forward, and we'll kind of let you know. What else is coming up? Because there was a couple, like I said, there was a couple of random surprises that I didn't see coming. Like the Tenacious D one randomly popped up. I don't want to spoil this ahead of time, but there's actually a band called Just Loud. That is kind of a funk band that I just touched onto, and we're actually going to talk about them a little bit later. He's got his EP coming out in about 2 weeks. So that's something
else. There you go. About 5 or 6 tracks maybe.
Yep. And he is very talented. And I actually will throw a song on for you guys later that he's got that I love. So we'll talk about that. But now we're going to transition into, I think more so just what we're actually listening to right now. You know, what are the songs we're hooked on? What is, you know,
constant rotation.
Yeah, what's in your rotation?
That's probably the best way of putting it
for sure. So, Colin, do you have anything loaded up? Otherwise, I can just.
I think in terms of what I've been listening to a lot, it's kind of funny. So, I went to go see mid-90s Jonah Hill film. Jonah Hill film. Did I say that correctly? Yeah, Jonah Hill film. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was.
Was that pretty good? I remember.
I was a fan because for me. Just short background, like 90s hip hop is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
So for me, basically, that film was, including the siren in the background.
Jesus, what is going on in this
neighborhood? So, yeah, it was 90s hip hop and kind of like alternative, like Joy Division, Morrissey, The Smiths, and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, so like rotation wise, I'm listening to The Far Side and kind of really just, I kind of make playlists. Shameless plug here. I make playlists every now and then with kind of just timeline, the mood, I guess, without that sounds so just vague to say the least. But Yeah, just a lot of 90s hip hop. Kind of just because I like really going, like, kind of digging the crates and looking and kind of like whenever you look on something on iTunes or Spotify, you'll go here and then on the bottom it'll say other people listen to. And it's basically like getting into a big, deep loophole of just constantly looking and looking and looking. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's probably about it. Outside of podcasts, obviously, which I probably take up most of my time listening to stuff. But
yeah, I mean, that definitely makes two of us. But yeah, I'd say my heavy rotation. I mean, obviously, like I said, my favorite band is definitely 21 Pilots right now. Just saw them live at the X here in Minnesota. I mean, absolutely incredible spectacle of a show. I mean, it's two guys that make up the band, Tyler Joseph and Joshua Dunn. And I mean, it's just one guy playing a guitar, one guy playing the drums, and the amount of energy that those two bring. I mean, they sold out the XL Energy Center. It's kind of unbelievable. And just the spectacle that they put on, just all the, you know, theatrics, all these different, you know, gimmicks that they do to like make people just like kind of drop their jaws. I mean, just even off the top of my head, some of the things they did a disappearing act. They put him from main stage and all of a sudden he was up in the suites of the XL somehow.
Jeez, like, just running around,
They're doing backflips off the piano. I mean, like, jeez. Their finale is always them. You know, at one point, he's playing drums on top of the crowd. Like, it's stuff like that where, I mean, it's just like...
It's an event.
It is legitimately a spectacle. So, I mean, they are definitely worth the price of admission. I mean, if you like any of their songs, which I feel like they've really become a mainstream band now, which I like, but I don't like at the same time because they were kind of like a nice little kept secret for me. But now, I mean... Just the access to being able to see them is so wonderful, and they put on an even bigger show, so it's a good thing too. So obviously, any of those three albums, Trench just came out. It's fantastic, front to back. Highly recommend. Definitely should go back and listen to that. But I mean, I still rotate through Blurry Face and Vessel. They're both Vessel. Honestly, I don't think there will ever be another album that they will churn out that is better.
Gets to that quality. That.
It's yeah. I mean, the amount of sounds on that album, I don't think can ever be replicated. It's fantastic. But now kind of going lower cut, if you're not, you know, in, I mean, if you've been there, done that with 21 Pilots, I have some other stuff that I've been kind of going through. Just recently went to a concert for a small little hip hop artist named Bryce Vine. Highly recommend. Puts on a ton of energy. I actually saw him at last year. I knew about him kind of low key beforehand, but he is just a ton of fun, a lot of energy live. Puts on, you might know the song that he actually...
Oh, so it's the guy who made the Drew Barrymore song.
The Drew Barrymore song.
There
absolutely.
You go. I told you
that. That's the one, yeah, the one that I feel like really kind of jettisoned him upward.
Completely.
But he has so many wonderful songs outside of that, and I think he played 10 songs total, and I got tickets from my brother for my birthday, but definitely was drunkenly singing along to all 10 there. I mean, he is so much fun live. And then also... the person that actually opened up ahead of him, because they were both openers. We were there to actually see Max, but we didn't end up staying. I had lack of interest personally. But her name was Ezzy, and actually some background knowledge about her. She was actually at like a Nickelodeon star beforehand, which like totally, I was doing research on her today because like, I really like some of her stuff. She's kind of got like a... Trying to think of someone to compare her to. My girlfriend actually compared her to Melanie Martinez, which I agree with, but I actually feel like she's kind of got a little bit more of like a grittier vibe to her.
Is it just Easy Eye?
Easy Eye is how you spell it, yep. And she's definitely like, I would compare her to like, kind of like a Bishop Briggs or like, Kayflay is probably, I would say, the closest thing.
And just like you said earlier, these names are flying completely over me. I'm just browsing to see what they look like on Apple Music.
Yeah,
and
but
kind of getting it.
Ezzy's definitely been in my rotation. I mean, she's definitely a low-key artist. She's only got, like, I think her top song only had, like, 2 million plays on
Spotify. Well, yeah, it's still 2 million people, you know what I mean? Like, still a lot of people regardless.
But, I actually just wanted to read her, if I could find it, maybe I can't. But I was reading up about her today, and like she had been like, she actually renamed herself post her like Nickelodeon career because she wanted to be separated from it. But she was on like a Nickelodeon show that I had never heard of, so I thought. That
well,
was kind
of remember? You obviously remember the show iCarly, don't you?
Yeah.
Do you know like Gibby? He's a DJ.
I know.
It's the funniest thing ever. He makes like lo-fi, like trippy music, and it.
That
some of it's actually not that bad.
That is pretty
a little bad. Bit. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't listen to it, but it wasn't awful by any means.
No. But, we'll actually, I think let's actually throw on a Bryce Vine song right now just to give people a little sample of him. And we'll be right back. But I just wanted to give you guys a little sample of, like, some of the other songs outside of Drew Barrymore if you get a kick out of them.
Is it a banger?
Okay, so that's what I've been listening to lately. I went and saw the concert, really enjoyed myself. But we have to answer Izzy's question, is it a banger?
All right. Truly off the dome, first reaction, maybe. I wouldn't say no, and I wouldn't say yes.
I'll take a maybe.
The first thing that comes to mind is that it's something that I'd imagine I'd listen to. No offense here, take it as you can say that everything I listen to is crap, I understand. But I think it's something where, like, the first thing that comes to mind is you're in high school and you wake up and you're aspiring to live a great life. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. It's something that's like a motivational song where I can see people listening to in that sense. It still sounds good. Like, sonically, it hits.
Yeah.
Checks the box. Lyrical content, eh.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying he's the
Iron sound-wise, yes. It fits the mold.
No, yeah. It's definitely – I mean, I think that's really how I would rate his music, is it's just more – it's fun. Like,
yeah, it definitely is.
He was a blast live. Like, he's very energetic. A lot of his lyrics, like, if you listen to – like, for example, the song Sour Patch Kids is all about, like, him growing up in the 90s. It's mm-hmm. all about, like, all the things that he really misses about the 90s. So it's, like, he talks about, like, literally, like, you know, candy, all the trading cards he used to play with. Like, so it's just, like, a nostalgic song. I kind of get that, like, because all the two songs, that song that I'm talking about and then the song you just heard, mm-hmm. were off of his, like, original, like, EP. So he's definitely evolved. I mean, look at, you know, the song that blew up now, Drew Barrymore. Like, he's definitely starting to, like, write a little more of a... I guess mature content, so he's kind of getting out of that phase. But I mean, the melodies are the things that have stayed consistent throughout, where he's like legitimately.
It's catchy, man. Yeah, like, you can tell he's going to be able to have a crowd if the music's lively enough.
And I'm telling you right now, when I was standing in the Fine Line, it's 750 people.
Fine Line, I saw Joey Badass there before he got popular.
Yeah, it's a fun place to see
a show. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because it's like when you see the place, you see the long bar, that's kind of a smaller stage.
Yeah.
But it's a really good.
If you're really in Minnesota right now listening and you've never been to the Fine Line and you see like somebody you know a couple songs from, go see them. Because especially if you think they're going to be like somewhat of a big deal. That's why I went and saw Bryce Vine there, because I knew, just especially now that he's on like the Billboard charts and stuff, he's gonna crank out a couple more songs, and that guy's probably gonna be touring at least a little bit bigger venue. So I knew I'd never get another chance to see him in that small of a venue. But yeah, so transitioning into what else, because I have a couple more on my list of what else I've been listening to. Already mentioned Bryce Vine, Ezzy, we're both at the show, both great. Transitioning now into a little more mainstream. The Revivalists have made it into my rotation now. I'm kind of a southern rock band is probably how I would more describe them.
Does it have like a folk sound to it?
Maybe a little. I would equate them more to like if you're familiar with Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats.
Yeah, you've definitely played that around me when I was with you when we were mm-hmm. up at the cabin.
Mm-hmm. That was very good. Think for Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats. Think like if you're listening to like a 1980s John Hughes movie, like Ferris Bueller's Day Off or something like that, and it's like music that like. Or, like, music Ferris would play, or music that, like, Macaulay Culkin would play.
It's very distinctive.
It's very, like, that, like, kind of gritty, like, 80s kind of, like, southern rock music that doesn't really exist anymore. It's kind of making a comeback. So, Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats, and then the Revivalists, which are a newer band, and they sing the song I Wish I Knew You, which is kind of their big radio hit right now. But I've been listening to a lot of their other stuff, and they're very, very good. So I'd highly recommend them. And then the two bands that I am beyond obsessed with right now, AJR is going to be a gigantic deal. I think they already are kind of becoming that. They're playing.
What does it stand for?
I honestly don't know if it's an acronym or not. It probably is. I don't know if it is or not, though.
Well, it's each his own, I guess. That's just the first thing whenever I think of it.
Whenever you abbreviate it. But granted, I think like when I just brought up Ezzy, it's EZI, and then. Whenever people do that, I never understand how to say
it. I think Ezzy's more of an argument than AJR, because then he's the Azure. No chance.
But yeah, so AJR sings, their big radio hit right now is Sober Up. That had the lead singer of Weezer, Rivers Cuomo, doing the hook for that. That's a really big hit. Their first song ever, actually, that I got hooked on like years and years and years ago. I probably first heard it like right as I got out of college or like probably in that time frame, about 5 years ago. They have a song called Weak, and that was what was really popular from them. So I'd highly recommend AJR's new album. They have a song called Burning Down the House that I really enjoy. So that's made it into my rotation. And then the last band that I have, which I actually have to look up because I didn't do the research enough to know if this is just a single dude, but it only shows one. But the band is called 2 Feet. And
2 Feet.
Honestly, I have been, they sing the song, I Feel Like I'm Drowning. And that's been on the radio a lot if you listen to a lot of the alternative stations. Mm-hmm. Great song. And we'll actually pause and play that one too, because I feel like if you guys don't know what that is, you would, if you like alternative music, you will like 2 Feet. I think he's only got one record out, but I think he's going to be, if he puts out anything even remotely close to the standards of what he just released, he's going to be a really big deal. So we'll pause for that now too.
Is it a banger?
All right. So 2 Feet, your thoughts.
2 Feet is 2 times better than what I last heard. AKA the instruments in that song were infinitely times better. It's just very soothing. Voice was good. At first I was kind of wondering where it was going to go, because I kind of thought it was going to be kind of bland and slow, but yeah, it kind of rides with it. And I'm a fan. So after this, I'm going to go on my phone. I'm going to add it. So that gets the stamp of approval.
Which means it is a banger.
It is indeed a banger.
As the seasons are, I would say. So yeah, I mean that I'm completely through my list of kind of my rotation right now of what I've been listening to on a regular basis. So do you have anything else you want to add, or should we just transition into?
We can go through, because I think the stuff I would play more or less, I don't really know if I want to be honest. I'm just not feeling it.
All right, fair enough. Well, we're going to transition into more. Now, I think the next segment I want to really talk about is just like, I really like finding little bands that are niches that are, I think, going to kind of get to be bigger. And I feel like the bands I've been recommending here and the stuff usually in my rotation, a lot of the times I listen to a lot more mainstream stuff usually, but I also do enjoy kind of like going through a lot of alt playlists and stuff like that, or, you know, whatever other playlists I might have, and going through bands that I think are going to kind of hit it big, or bands that I might've found, you know, at concerts as openers, or bands that I found at festivals. So I got a list of a few of those. And do you want me to start out, Colin, or do you have a couple that?
Yeah, you can go first. I'll do my side of the music side, because that's pretty easy to me. So
for sure.
Go
ahead. So the first one I actually want to touch on, I found on a random Spotify playlist the 2 nights ago or the other night. And the band name is called Stand Atlantic. And it's funny because I circled them for my girlfriend because I knew she would be a huge fan of them. And I was proven right because I showed her them and she thought they were awesome. But they have very pop rock kind of punky vibes to them. It's a trio out of Australia. Literally haven't even put out They literally just put out an album like 5 days ago, 6 days ago. And as of right now, they are only touring in Australia. So, I mean, they have not even gotten out of their own country yet.
Australian bands always sound good. So, yeah. They already got a stamp of approval for me, even though I have no idea what their music is.
But, yeah, absolutely. So, we can do it a number of different ways. Do you want to – we could either playlist this – this is an on-the-air production meeting, and we can kind of talk about and work out what we want to do.
Best way of being productive.
Do we want to do full-on playlists for these guys at the end where we just kind of list them off and then we don't have to keep going back and forth?
I think we should start doing a Spotify playlist.
And I was actually going to talk to you about that. I think if everybody hears, and the more, you know, vocal we get, you know, fan reaction from people, you know, kind of contributing and like listening, and the more listeners we get, I think it, you know, makes a lot of sense to do that.
Definitely. We can do like an A side, yeah, B side kind of thing where one side's your genre, mine's the other.
But yeah, I would be more than willing.
That would not mix well at all.
But no, it would make sense. Genres. I mean, having, you know, multiple different genres.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, even me personally, I mean, just this list that I have here, I think listed, and we'll go through them eventually, but I have pop rock with punk vibes. I have a southern rock. I have electronic alt pop. I have folk pop indie. Like, so I have kind of a wide range of stuff that definitely probably wouldn't necessarily be in the same genre. But it is stuff that, you know,
you could easily toss it all together in there in one playlist, and it wouldn't be as crazy as me throwing an Amigo song next to 2 Feet.
No, I agree.
Because that would not make any sense.
I think it makes a lot of sense maybe to just have a one-stop shop that you guys could check out on Spotify that would be listed under a playlist that we could give you, you know, kind of the information to. And I think that makes a lot of sense.
Put it in the bio. We'll figure it out.
So you guys don't have to go out of your way to go looking for everything. But I think that actually makes a lot of sense. So we'll talk about that after we get off air here. But I think that's probably – especially going forward, something we'll probably do if we hear enough reaction from people, if they would like us to do that. So we definitely will. But I think how we'll do it going forward here, just for the rest of it, so we don't have to start and stop and kind of fish out and get all of our reactions, I think we'll actually just list the bands off, and then we'll actually play small snippets for you guys at the end, and just kind of trail out, and then we'll kind of conclude after the fact, so you guys can kind of listen to them almost in rhythm. But yeah, so Stand Atlantic, first band I would highly recommend. They are absolutely phenomenal if you like punk music. They are kind of like I feel like what punk has evolved into now. So I'd definitely check them out. Kellen, actually, my girlfriend, thought that they sounded a lot like Sleeping with Sirens, which I actually think is a pretty appropriate
comparison
for sure. So yeah, check them out if you like that kind of music. Then we'll transition into the next band that I like, that I feel like a lot more people should know, which is actually the Glorious Sons. They're Southern rock.
Sounds so familiar.
Well, it should, because I actually saw them when I went to a concert with your sister and her boyfriend.
There you go. That adds up. I heard
they opened in front of the Struts.
Okay.
They honestly, and the Struts are fantastic live. Yeah. If you've never seen them, kind of like an 80s, like, nuanced rock that's like kind of revived. Dude literally looks like he's from an 80s cover band. But so they opened up for them, and the Struts always put on an absolutely kick-ass show, and Glorious Sons like held their own in that concert to the point where I'm like, I think a lot of people were kind of like
who are these people? That stage presence there.
So I don't know a ton about them outside of the fact that I just listen to them a lot, but they are still very, very low-key band that like I don't feel like has the notoriety yet. They actually just played 7th Street Entry locally, which for those of you outside of Minnesota, that's like kind of
very good place to
see. It's a good place to start, but it's an up-and-comer band. I mean, like, they have so many big time acts coming through there. But yeah, that definitely kind of showed me that they're on the right path. And I had the opportunity to see them twice, because they were actually at Firefly as well, the festival that I've kind of frequented recently. But just to give you kind of a background for Glorious Sons, they have two full-length albums out, and I just wanted to get exactly where they're from. Timing is everything. Reading on air is very, very interesting. I don't see anything on here. It says Canadian Rock Radio, which if that's true, the Southern rock roots that they
somehow adapted or figured out. That just comes to what their origin, or not origins, their preference of music is.
Yeah, which is, it makes it so much cooler, because you would just never be the wiser if you heard them live. So we're going to play something from Stand Atlantic and something from Glorious Sons right in a row here. We'll go bang, bang, and then we'll do kind of our judgment on those two. And then I have two more bands that I feel like you guys should check out, and then we'll touch on Cullen stuff and get out of here. All right, so that was Stand Atlantic and Glorious Sun. Stand Atlantic first, Glorious Sun second. And like I said, I mean, yeah, Stand Atlantic just really has some nice like punk vibe to them. Glorious Sun's being from Canada and sounding like they legitimately are out of like Tennessee or Georgia or something like that is
very clear voice.
Yeah, and he is this guy with really long hair. Just comes out, it, like, just a goofy, like, build, like, probably, like, weighs, like, you know, my size. He's probably, like, 225, 230.
Yeah.
He's probably even bigger than I am, so he's a chunky guy. But, yeah, just this clear, like, sultry Southern, like, voice. It's just goofy. But, yeah, they are worth your time checking out. I feel like they're going to be a really big deal. They've been kind of hovering on the alternative, like, billboards now all of a sudden. I feel like they have that Sawed-Off Shotgun song that we played for you is definitely their most popular, but they definitely have some deeper tracks that I feel like are worth your time. So you guys can check those out. And then I just had two more to finish up that I feel like is definitely worth your guys' time. First off, we'll start with a band by the name of Flint Eastwood. And they are kind of like an electronic, like pop alt kind of group. Is probably the best way I would describe them. Out of Detroit. Really interesting just melodies and beats. I really don't know how else to describe them. So we'll play that right after this. And then we'll actually do back to back again. So I'll introduce the other band as well. But the other band I'm actually is kind of near and dear to my heart. They were a band that I randomly found on the festival circuit the first year I went when I inspected the whole lineup. They were a band kind of towards the bottom. They were playing in the middle of the day. They're playing probably around like 3:45 in the afternoon on the last day. And the last two festivals I got to now, I go from top to bottom. I always like look at, you know, all of the whole lineup, try to listen to everything on Spotify playlists and stuff like that. Try to get a familiarity with everyone that's going to be there and who's worth my time. It was a band by the name of Magic Giant. They are a folk pop band, which is a really interesting combo. And I feel like kind of
sounds like an oxymoron.
When yeah, you first it kind of does. But I feel like almost it's. I feel like the group that's probably the most responsible for kind of creating that path is like the Lumineers, because
they kind of did whatever they wanted at that point.
And folk music just was never like a mainstream type of music, really. It was always like a niche style. Like, I mean, there's definitely good folk bands. I'm not saying that there's not, but the fact that a band like the Lumineers could be such a big deal for so many people, I think was kind of goofy. And I've seen the Lumineers. They're fantastic live, but it's just kind of odd that a band like that really hit so mainstream. I mean, I think it kind of paved the way for like kind of like these like niche like subgenres of folk. So that's really cool. But folk pop is interesting if you've never heard it. But we'll play something from them too. But on the festival circuit, I actually got to meet them, and it's three guys. And just an interesting fun fact that I always like to share to people that actually get a kick out of this band. So it's three guys. They have a lead singer, a guitarist, and a bassist. And actually, and he's like, he actually plays cello too on there, or like bass cello and stuff like that. So like, he's like their bassist and does like a bunch of, I think he plays violin for him too. He does a lot of stuff. The fun fact about him though, is we were talking to him at the festival. We ran into them cause they were out and about after they played, and we got to talking, and I guess the guy learned how to play music because he was hit by a car. So he's one of those people that was like a savant that like picked up.
You know, oh,
like
it's one of those things where you're sitting around for however long and you want to figure out, or you want a new hobby or new niche and you pick it up basically.
So no, not even. So think about, have you ever heard stories of like people that go in for like some kind of surgery, sometimes usually involving the brain or something like that.
Yeah.
Something goes awry, not necessarily in a bad way, but like
something clicks,
something gets hardwired differently.
Yeah.
And then like say that person knows Spanish without ever learning a day of Spanish.
I've definitely heard of that. It's
so
just
that,
not super
there's
common.
A name for it.
Yeah.
But that guy actually, this violinist for Magic Giant legitimately knows how to play instruments because he was hit by a car, which I think is really, really interesting.
it's not common by any stretch of the imagination.
Just a fun fact about Magic Giant before we play it for you. But so the two songs we're going to play, I'm going to play Queen by Flint Eastwood, and then I'm going to also play Set on Fire by Magic Giant. Both are great songs. Queen's definitely something that I actually like run through in the gym a lot of the times. Kind of a pump-up track. You'll really get a kick out of that. And then Set on Fire, they actually dubbed it like just like a festival song. It lit up. It's something that you play like around a campfire. It just sounds exactly like you should. But yeah, you guys will have to let us know what you think about it. Send us... That's another thing we really wanted to stress too. If there's music that you guys like or music you guys think we should talk about on this pod or anything like that, this Anchor podcasting host that we have, we recommend everybody downloads it. Everybody needs to be on it because it just allows
us
more feedback. You can literally message us questions. You can message us feedback, anything that you feel like that we need to offer to you on this podcast, ideas for the podcast, how we should evolve this podcast, everything that needs to be on here. You guys can literally do, and it's a free app. You guys can literally go on and listen for free. It's a podcast hosting site too. So you can listen to other podcasts. There's other podcasts you like that use it. But like I said, we'll also be on Spotify, Apple Music, stuff like that. So if it doesn't interest you, I understand. Like you can just listen to us on there too. But yeah, so definitely, I mean, the more music we can take,
it's
the better.
It'll
make this podcast so much more interesting, so much more fun and interactive. So we highly recommend it. But yeah, and we'd love to hear if the Spotify playlist idea is a good idea.
Yeah,
I don't waste my time if it's not.
No, so. And that's not too big of a deal. I mean, that's what I do anyways in my spare time. But
yeah.
With the messages, before anyone listening by the name of Radke or Adam sent a message to us saying, hey, you suck. It's not funny at this point. So nice try. But actually, like, ask us questions.
Actually, I think that
would
be kind of funny.
It would. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. They'll make it an anonymous burner account, so it'll probably make sense. But, yeah, just send us recommendations, things to talk about, things along that line.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll fade right into the music for you guys. And leave comments, even if there's a song that we found that you guys like or appreciate, be sure to let us know, because then we know that we're doing our job correctly. That's literally the whole goal of this podcast. All right, so that was Magic Giant and Flint Eastwood, actually in reverse order, so Flint Eastwood into Magic Giant. Colin, you listened to both of them. Just a little quick synopsis on what you thought about them, just because I'm kind of curious.
I think I like the first one more than the second one, because her voice in the first one was, I don't know what it is about, voice is a huge thing for me. If it doesn't, if I don't vibe with it at all, then I'm not with it at all. And it was kind of haunting. I enjoyed it, to say the least.
Yeah, she's so good. Both of them played a small stage when I saw them, but that was both out of the same festival. So kind of smaller bands, but if you like that Flint Eastwood group, I would highly recommend. They have very different sounds for very different songs because they mix very different melodies together. So I would highly recommend checking them out. They have a song called Glitches that I actually probably like more, but I played Queen just because it was a little more popular. So, I'll let you guys check all those out. I hope you kind of enjoyed all of my suggestions. And now we'll transfer over to some of Cullen's low-key options that he feels like people will kind of be into.
Yeah, I'd say the one that I want to probably mention the first would be, it's a throwback, a little 90s hip-hop. It's the Far Side. The song's called Passing Me By. And you'll clearly understand why it's called that throughout the chorus, but very vibey California group, and that'd be the first one I mentioned. Then the second one is someone probably everyone knows. It is one of them. It's two people in the song. First person is Tyler, the Creator. Most people would maybe know. And then after that, with him in the song, is ASAP Rocky.
Okay.
Very laid-back song. It's called Potato Salad. The music video for it is hilarious. They're just sitting in a Paris in a like old World War II like Jeep, and they're just dicking around being idiots, and there's like weird like kind of ransom kind of font words going across the screen. It's kind of weird. It looks cool though. And yeah, very laid back, kind of like a rainy day kind of song is the best way I always kind of describe it.
Okay.
And yeah, I think it's fantastic, and I really kind of hope that they both rap together more, because I think that personally Tyler, Creator himself, has had a way better solo career.
I have a question for Tyler, the Creator, too, just to, not to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
So, speaking of tracking way back to the beginning of the podcast, when we talked about CS Christmas music, what do you think about him being on the have you seen his
– Oh, his the thing with the Grinch?
The Grinch music.
I think it's
listened to it today, good. And I actually liked it a lot.
I think it might be kind of really good. I'm intrigued, because he's just artsy, dude. Like, it's hard to describe, because he's a dude who is obsessed with Pharrell.
Yeah.
And Pharrell, as everyone knows, is a staple in music, I'd say, across multiple genres. He's got many hits you can think of. Yeah. And he just has that different vibe in hip hop. It's more like an alternative hip hop, because if you go to his first early discography, like, you'll see what I'm talking about, that he was very aggressive. He said very interesting lines.
Yeah.
One of which if I said it, it probably would sound bad. I'm just fucking saying it anyways.
Yeah.
The line is, rape a pregnant bitch, call that a threesome.
Jesus.
Yeah. God. So that, yeah. Well, yeah, a little bit. And then obviously, you know, Yonkers, which is kind of everyone knows him from, where it's the music video of him eating a cockroach, which is just weird.
I mean, I don't know. Shock but value is.
The thing that's a positive with him, though, is that every single album, it's gotten better. And you can see through all the magazine articles, all the big dogs in the music industry that are talking about it, and artists that they all know that he's gotten way better, because he's just become a better artist.
Yeah.
Starts producing more. He's involved with other people's stuff, and it's exciting to see.
Yeah. I mean,
personally,
definitely for my generation, I feel like that's what Eminem did, was it was a shock factor. I mean, his early albums obviously were the ones that, like, you know, he'd say things that people legitimately like were laughing at, because it was just so ridiculous, and like people had never heard someone like on a rap album. He's just unique.
I think that's the extra touch too is the fact that he had the whole Odd Future group, which was really kind of revolutionary at the time, because it's just a bunch of punk ass kids doing whatever they wanted. They got big off of Tyler's song, and then after that, like, they created careers for Earl Sweatshirt, Frank Ocean.
Yeah.
Haji, I mean, Left Brain, there's so many people to name, but it created the wave. Like, it's hard to compare other groups to it. Like, you can think of, if you know who Brockhampton is, that's the same thing. I mean, it's, I'm probably being a culture vulture by saying that, but it's, they opened the door. It kind of gave the idea of like an internet SoundCloud rapper, kind of like, if you can get that hit, you can really run with it, because you're going to get a big enough crowd where people are going to listen. Absolutely. And he's just gotten so much better over time. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, all right. We'll transition into your two song choices then, let you guys listen to those, and we'll be back for, did you say you had a couple more songs to?
No, I'll probably just do two, and then we'll probably cut it off. And
okay, we'll go two. We'll come back and we'll conclude and give you guys some close up information and send you out on your merry way. All right, guys. So that pretty much concludes our first music pod. We were really happy to do it for you. I had a lot of fun doing it. I know Colin probably.
Definitely, man. I'm excited because the sky's the limit for this completely. So
absolutely. I think, you know, it makes me more passionate and eager to listen to more music. And, you know, especially people actually use this as a tool to like try to find new music. And that's not only what we'll do too. We'll find other things and niches. I think down the road too, I'd really like to, some of the ideas I jotted down, you know, being, you know, I've talked about it so much in this pod already, but talking about how much I love festivals and stuff like that too. We'll talk.
Yeah,
about
that. I mean, festival. We can talk about that later, because I went to Lollapalooza and that changed my music perspective completely. And
talking about, you know, festival advice for people that go, but I mean, even just like we'll really depict festival lineups too as they come out, you know, throughout the year. We're not really there yet. We're kind of in the off season for them right now, but probably within, you know, the next couple calendar months, we're going to start seeing lineups drop, so we can start talking about that. Start talking about which one's best. You know, what you should, if you are interested in going, where you should throw your money at. You know, I have experience with one festival in particular, but I know Colin does as well, but it's something I'm probably going to go back to again next year. So we'll have fun depicting, you know, and kind of like picking apart all of those and telling them, you know, about like which ones are good, which ones are bad, and which ones you shouldn't waste your time with. So we'll really enjoy that. But in the meantime, we really enjoy bringing this to you. We're just, you know, talking through all the new albums and all the new music that's out there, and then just low-key artists that you should keep your eye on, artists that I'm currently listening to. And again, like we said, we can't reiterate it enough. Please, please, please try to, you know, communicate with us on this new Anchor app. We would love to hear from you. It will just make our podcast that much better. It'll make it more fun for you guys to listen to. Fan interaction makes the whole thing go. So we appreciate you listening, and we're going to let Snoop take us out, and we promise next time the episode will be better.